Coming up, the four people that are most likely to get laid off. And then a new study shows that 50% of the workforce is quiet quitting. Oh boy. We'll break that down. And of course, I'm going to coach you up. Let's go. Welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we coach you up to have the competitive edge to win at work and in life. You are competing against yourself and others, and it's time that you realize that. And everybody needs a coach, and I'm your coach. I'm also your counselor and your cheerleader, all in one. I'm feeling very fall today, everybody. I got the shacket on today, the orange shacket, half shirt, half jacket, because it's cool here in Middle Tennessee in the morning and in the evening. So there you go. By the way, every serious man needs a shacket or two or three. There's bonus content for today, but let's get right to it. People are talking about layoffs. The media loves talking about this stuff because remember this about the media. They win if they're getting you to pay attention. So they're obviously always trying to scare you, giving you the worst case scenario. Are we in a recession? Are we not? The Fed's raising interest rates. Companies are tightening their belt. This is happening, but it's not happening wide scale. However, when the mantra, the message is always negative, I'm going to meet the message. I am a man of the people. And I'm going to meet that negative message and go, look, are there going to be some layoffs? Yes, there will be. Companies do this, specifically public companies, when stock prices go down. And if you're paying attention to the stock market right now, it's a bloodbath. So you will see public companies that will tighten their belt. They will make adjustments. And that means there will be layoffs. So who are the four? And we're looking at some data, and then we're going to go to my opinion. So what does the data say? We are looking at research from Revelio Labs for this data, okay? And here are the four types of people most likely to get laid off according to their research. One, recent hires. So these are the newbies, all right? They're brand new. The average time a laid off employee had been with the company was 1.2 years. Okay. So I'm not surprised by this. I do believe that loyalty matters on both sides of the coin. And, you know, if I had to go through and I've had to lay people off before, it's not fun, but loyalty matters and seniority matters. So no surprise here with this one. Number two, high earners. Well, now this is about truly tightening the belt. You know, just as in your personal life, when maybe the job is lost and the budget needs to change. You cut expenses, right? You start cutting, well, we're going to cut this premium channel here, or we're going to go to the slower internet plan, or we're going to reduce our budget as it relates to groceries and eating out. We do this as people. Well, companies will do this too. And they go, where's our highest expense? And it's obviously payroll. So high earners. Three, millennials. Uh-oh. Now, this is interesting because millennials are the largest demographic in the workforce. Revelio tracked millennials made up 79% of the workforce but experienced 94% of the layoffs. Well, let's go back to reason number two, which is high earners. So millennials are the largest demographic in the workforce. And so because they're the largest group, then they're going to be leaders in a lot of categories just by sheer numbers. So you got high-earning millennials, they're going to be on the chopping block. Millennials also moved a lot during the Great Resignation. Okay, so if you're new, you've only been at the company a year. Well, so reasons one and two lead to why millennials are the largest group, the demographic, that are being laid off. And then fourth, recruiters, boy, I hope words aren't going to be this hard the rest of the show today. Recruiters and coders. Well, when we're laying people off, the last thing that we're thinking about is adding people. So that's why recruiters on the chopping block makes a lot of sense. But now you look at coders. Coders are most likely because their salaries, again, are so high. So back to number two. Okay. So there's a lot of common sense here. Now, why do I share this? Well, if you're in these groups and you're working for a public company specifically, you need to become extra vigilant, right? Extra vigilant. Now, what do you do if you've got a major storm system coming and it's got some tornadoes in it, right? That's we kind of live in the mid, you know, that channel that comes through from the Midwest and it comes our way. And so we get a lot of big storms in late spring. What do you do? By the way, I'm going to do a quick poll of the control room after this example. Well, I'll tell you what I do. I got the old app on the phone, and I'm paying attention. I'm staying up. Everybody else in my house sleeps, not me. I'm the responsible one. A lot of tension here between Stacy and I. She sleeps like a log. Would have no idea if the tornado was on top of us. Me? I'm nervous, Nelly. Well, I'm paying attention. I'm going to be vigilant. There's a possible tornado in the area. The reason I'm going over these four groups of people that are most likely to be laid off, specifically in larger companies, and very specifically if you work for a publicly held company and the stock price is sagging. What am I telling you to do? Always be vigilant. More on that in just a moment. Now, quick poll. How many of you in the control room go to sleep and don't even worry about it if a storm is coming with a tornado? Nobody? Alex, you do?
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, you're not worried about it at all.
When I was younger, I cared. I don't care now.
Joe doesn't care anymore. Amanda, what's
I am up with all the apps open. Yes. I grew up in Tornado Valley.
Next time I know that, I will text you to see if you have any breaking information that I don't have, because I will be lonely and the rest of the house is sleeping and I'm up looking. So
I do prep for a hurricane, though.
Oh, well, yeah.
Done that before.
Yeah, the hurricane's the slow move, you know. The hurricane, I don't know. I don't mean to minimize it, but like, if you're not being responsible with a hurricane, you got deep problems. You know what I mean? The tornado thing is out of nowhere. Anyway, all right. I'm going to add a couple of people to be wary as well, and then I'm going to tell you how to be prepared. Here we go. Older employees. I wish this weren't true. Do I think ageism exists? It absolutely does. It's the it's ugly, ugly, ugly. Any kind of just, you know, prejudging people or going, well, they're older, they're going to be retired soon. I hate that. It exists. If you are an employee who's had some toxicity on your marks, meaning you're a problem employee and you've been called in for being difficult, trust me, you're going to be first on the block. And then if you're an employee who's resistant to change, they've asked you to change multiple times, you've had to talk to leadership about it, you have a perception around the office of being someone who's not for change, you're gone. I'm adding that to the list. And so what's the solution to this? Yes, you got to be vigilant. You're paying attention to the signs. You're paying attention to the conversations in the office. But let me just tell you this. This is why you've got to always have those connections working. You're working the proximity principle all the time, getting around the right people and in the right places. That's where opportunities exist, and it's where they pop up when you need them most. Secondly, get that side hustle going. Get an extra stream of income. Build that emergency fund. Prepare for the storm, right? Prepare for the storm. And if you're prepared for the storm, there's nothing to worry about. Is it a pain in the butt? Sure, but you're not going to die. All right, coming up next, quiet quitters make up half of the U.S. workforce. We're going to dive into this. Don't move. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Coaching you up so that you can make more money and experience more meaning. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Quick hello to everybody in the YouTube live chat room. People are watching live and they are commenting. And so it's always fun to see you good folks today. I call them the YouTube crazies, and they are, I say that lovingly. All right, let's dive into this. So this quiet quitting term, which drives me absolutely bananas. You know, I got to tell y'all, I've always been old school. My nickname in college was 40. Yeah, as in 40 years of age. I read two newspapers every day. I would sit in the quad area and all my friends would come in, and I was always like the old school newspaper. Like, you know, I've always been a little bit of an older soul. I'm a traditionalist. And I think that that just good old fashioned words still work. I don't know why we got to come up with things like imposter syndrome to say doubt. I don't know why we've got to come up with quiet quitting, but the media's latched onto it. By the way, I love to teach where I can give you extra nuggets. Do you know why quiet quitting has stuck? Anybody? Anybody? I'm going to tell you. Quiet quitting has stuck among people first, and now the media's grabbed onto it because it's alliteration. It's that simple. Quiet quitting. It's easy to say, and it's done a very pretty good job of describing what's really going on. All right, so I'm going to define it. If you haven't heard how it is really being used, it is essentially people who are doing the minimum required, and they are psychologically and emotionally detached. That's my way of saying it. So here's the job description. Here's what my boss expects of me. And I'm only going to do that. And then I'm psychologically and emotionally detached. I mean, mentally, I'm not really engaged, and emotionally, like, I'm not engaged. Something bad happens to the company or product, I don't care. Just pay me. I mean, that's what's really going on. And so this is the best way to describe what's called quiet quitting. By the way, it's nothing new. I am a student of this stuff and work trends. And for years, every year when the new Gallup work poll comes out, and Gallup's been doing this for a long time as a part of the strengths revolution that they brought to the forefront, and I was an early adopter. And so they put out a study year after year after year, and it's been in the 68%, 69%, sometimes bump up to 70% of American workers are what they call disengaged. Now, that does not mean that they hate their job. It's not a hatred thing. It's just what I described. So quiet quitting, this isn't some new trend. This is just what kids are calling it on TikTok, or as I like to say, the talk. Just irritates my kids when I say that. The other day, I brought it out again, Alex, and my daughter was like, "Dad, that's so cringe." That's what she said to me. Okay, I don't know what that means. Okay, latest data. Quiet quitters make up at least 50% of the U.S. workforce, Gallup finds. U.S. employee engagement took another step backward during the second quarter of 2022. So now we are seeing some negative trends here. And it's partly because you see things like this happen on social media where we call things quiet quitting and people go, oh, yeah, that's me. So now people are like brazen about it. Remember I told you we long to belong, right? So if someone's mad at this presidential candidate, or someone's mad at this social media influencer, or this pop culture icon, and they feel like it hits a nerve, they jump on board, and it's like, why? Because I agree with this group of people, and I'm going to swim with them. This is natural human behavior. This is the largest proportion, the proportion of engaged workers remained at 32%. So 32%, less than a third of American workers are engaged. The proportion of actively disengaged has increased to 18%. So then the middle ground are the people that are just not engaged. So you have actively engaged. They're fired up, all in. Then you got the not engaged. They're just the quiet quitters. And then you got this group, 18% now, and this has gone up, of people who are actively disengaged, right? Their mindset is this.
Take this job and shove it.
Right? Little Johnny Paycheck. Okay? If you look that song up, if you don't know who he is. But that's their mindset. You all right? They don't care if they get fired. Take this job and shove it where the sun don't shine. Right? That's what they're thinking. And that's actively disengaged. All right? And you know, those people are still getting to come in because leaders are terrified of getting rid of them. So the drop in engagement began in the second half of 2021, and that was concurrent with the rise of job resignations. And I believe that's what the Great Resignation did, right? It left so many people behind, and they were like, well, screw it. I'm not brave enough to go do something different, but I'm also not going to keep bringing it here. If everybody else is leaving me, why am I here? And you're not going to see that in the media, but I believe that's the psychological response, and thus why you're seeing the numbers jump. Okay, the workplace has gotten worse for younger employees. Now, this is where this gets interesting. Gen Z and younger millennials. So these are everybody below the age 35, okay? Since the pandemic, younger workers have declined significantly in feeling cared about and having opportunities to develop. So leaders, listen to me. Young people are the future of the workforce, and they feel like they are less cared for, meaning they're humans, and they don't feel like you care about them. You don't know them. You don't see them. In short, you're not loving them. Secondly, and this is a direct result of not loving them and seeing them and caring for them, they don't feel like they have opportunities to grow. Younger workers have dropped 10 or more points in the percentage who strongly agree that someone cares about them. Someone encourages their development. And they have opportunities to learn and grow. Fully remote and hybrid young workers drop 12 points in strong agreement that someone encourages their development. This is out of sight, out of mind. I've gotten criticized on this show before by saying that I don't think that hybrid and fully remote work is best for culture development. I didn't say it was wrong, and I didn't say you shouldn't be able to do it, but people come at me when I just say common sense things, which is fine. I'm cool with it. But if you listen to me, what I have said is this right here. You are out of sight, and thus there's a greater chance that you're out of mind for your leader. This is disturbing. Less than 4 in 10 young remote or hybrid employees clearly know what is expected of them at work. Now, this is a leadership issue, but here's the problem with leaders. Only 1 in 3 managers are engaged at work. Only managers are in a position to actually know how employees think and feel. Now, Gallup's done research on this. You ready, leaders? And I've told you this. Gallup says that the best habit for successful management is having one, just one, the bar is so low, just one meaningful conversation of 15 to 30 minutes a week with your people can make you an effective leader. Now, this is a leadership problem. And leaders, I've told you this before, I'm going to say it again. There are 3 human needs that must be met by leaders. And if you don't do it, you're going to have low engagement. Number 1, people need to feel a sense of meaning and purpose in their work. When they begin to believe that their job doesn't matter, the slippery slope is they begin to believe that they don't matter. Whew. Number 2, they need to be recognized publicly and privately for their unique contribution. Attaboys and attagirls. And number 3, they want a relationship with you, and it looks like a coach or a mentor. The data says it right here. They don't feel loved. They don't feel like they've got a ladder for a better life. The world has changed, leaders, and I'm not going to stop saying it. I'm trying to get in front of many leaders as possible to understand it. You just sit with people and go, how are you doing? How can I help you win? The connection is there. That's all it takes. Love people. Then you can lead them. Hey, if you're a business owner and you don't know your numbers, I hate to say it, but you don't know your business. And when markets are shifting, it's even more important. You've got to do everything you can to set yourself up for success. You don't have to be in the dark. Over 31,000 businesses, including our team here at Ramsey, know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle, the number 1 cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, planning, budgeting, and inventory, so you can actually manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve your margins. Having everything in one place has saved our team hours each week since we made the switch to NetSuite. No more jumping between 3 or 4 different systems. We have quick access to what's going on in our business at all times. NetSuite is a game changer. So head to netsuite.com/Ken to get a product tour today. That's netsuite.com/Ken. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. For those of you who think that you might like to get into sales, as usually there's no cap, certainly if you are in a straight commission role, or you're in sales now and you want to grow, I've got a great resource for you. We've got another course coming from our Ramsey Career Academy, and it is called Sales 101. Isn't that creative? I spent a lot of time coming up with that name. Yeah, I think we'll call it Sales 101. There it is. But it's really, really good. While the name is simple, it's chock full of goodness. My friend Chris Campbell, who is Ramsey Solutions Senior Vice President and an expert in sales and sales training and leading salespeople, he and I team up to teach those of you who want to get in or those that want to go up how to do it. Spots are limited. Don't wait to apply. You apply by going to RamseySolutions.com/sales course. That's RamseySolutions.com/sales course. And then don't forget, for those of you who want to dip your toe into potentially moving jobs, you never know what's out there until you look. How about letting somebody look for you while you do your life? That's ZipRecruiter. Takes you just minutes to fill out a profile at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. And then they go to work for you. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Check it out. All right. Up next is Jordan in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Jordan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call. Got a question around, should I boomerang or not? And does it make sense? How do I address the questions kind of when I walk back in the door?
Yeah, I want to tell people what you mean by boomerang really quick, and then we'll dive in. Boomerang means go back to the company that he left. How long ago did you leave them?
I left in February of this year and was laid off last Tuesday from my new employer.
Oh, boy. And how would you describe how you left?
Left under great terms. So my last day, my leaders told me, you know, you came in as an employee, but you're leaving as family and you can come back whenever you want. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
And yet you called me and asked the question, should I boomerang? So seems like you have a little bit of doubt. What is causing the doubt? I want to dive into that.
Yeah, I think it's just, I don't really know what's causing it. It's just, is it a good thing to go back? Is it,
well,
I mean, it's only been 7 months, so it's fresh, but yeah.
Well, see, I think that's the wrong question. I think the question you need to be asking is, where do I want to go? Instead of, is it a good thing to go back? I think that feels like you're worried about how that's going to look. Is that going to stunt your growth? What does that look like on your resume? Or what will people say? Feels like that's more worried about what other people think. Is that true?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, but see, to me, that's a secondary question. The primary question is, where do you want to go? And that is not specific company right now. Where do you want to go professionally? What is the personal goal that the professional advancement is going to help you achieve? I want you thinking 15, 20, 30 years down the road. I'm talking about mountaintops, man. We figure out the mountaintop, then we determine where we want to go. And if going back to your previous employer puts you back in a position to climb the mountain you want to climb, then the answer is yes. Now you tell me. I think that's why you've got doubt. Because I don't think you think it puts you on the right ladder. Does it or does it not?
Well, the weird thing is it actually does. I'm in project management work, and when I walked away, I went to a new project management role, and where I'd be coming back to, the role I'm actually interviewing for tomorrow morning, is actually a step up from what I walked away from.
So you're already interviewing with the old company tomorrow morning?
Yeah, they scheduled an interview like less than 24 hours after I applied.
Oh, I get it. So I'm the phone call. Hey, man, listen, I'm getting married tomorrow and I got some doubts. Okay, I'm cool with that. Well, so it's a mountaintop. It's that simple. Where are you going to take this? Where do you want to go 5, 10, 15 years from now?
Yeah, I think it makes sense based on how you put that. I went through, paycheck to purpose, and that's what kind of led me down this path towards PM work. And I found I love it.
Good.
So it's just kind of, where do I want to apply it?
All right. So let's learn something from this. If you don't mind, I'd like our audience to learn from you. Why'd you leave? If they've got a position tomorrow morning that you're interviewing for that puts you on the right ladder to climb to where you want to be, why did you leave them in the first place?
Well, it was a mixture of cool new work at a cool new place and a combination of, to be honest, COVID stuff that kind of forced me out the door at the time.
Oh.
They've repositioned themselves on that a month after I walked away. Go figure.
Well, so has the CDC.
Exactly.
I mean, the freaking people who were telling us to get 4 jabs, 5 jabs, 6 jabs, wear masks, they've all reworked it. By the way, can I just say, if anybody goes, oh, that's not true, Ken, can I say something? Go pound sand and go check the Google on that. All of them have changed their opinion on that. That's not me telling them they were right or wrong. I'm not going to fight with you for 2 seconds about it. I don't care. So welcome. They've changed their position. Okay, so that answer changed everything for me. You left because of principle. Good on you. And now they want you back because they've seen the light. So, yeah, it's a no-brainer. But listen, I still want you looking long-term. I want to make sure when you do this interview that you're talking and you're thinking about long-term, where do you want to be? And you still didn't answer the question, so I'm going to ask it one more time because I think it's important. Where do you want to be 10, 15 years from now professionally?
Yeah, I think if I had to put a label on it, would be kind of in a PM leadership role where I'm kind of mentoring and coaching other kind of more junior folks up to kind of where I am now and kind of where I've reached career-wise.
Great. So then, yeah, I do think you, I'm glad you got the interview. I think you go for it. I wouldn't just maybe go look for a couple other things while you're waiting.
Okay.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket, but yes, strategic, all I care about. See, when I'm on the climb, Jordan, and here's what I want for my audience and what I want for you. It's about the climb for me. It's rarely about the where for me on the climb. It's about the what. Am I doing what I need to be doing to eventually get to the where? So the current where, so the temporary where is just that. So as long as I'm being valued and I'm in a decent culture, I'm focusing on the what. And am I now taking a step to do what I need to do now so that I can do what I want to do in the next? And then the where for me is, I only think about where in terms of long-term mountaintop. That's where I'm headed. So where I am in the now is less important than what I need to be doing. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. All right. As I didn't want to confuse you or the audience, but so it's always about stepping. You know, if you look at the 7 stages in the book From Paycheck to Purpose, it's right there over my shoulder. I'm going to put it here. Why did I write this book? 7 stages. Get clear, get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, get the dream job, give yourself away. It is a escalation, all 7 stages. They work cyclically and they can repeat themselves as we continue to climb. And so the idea here is that I am focused on the now. Each of those 7 stages allows me to be hyper-focused in the now so that I can get to the next. But we humans screw things up so many times because we're so hyper-focused on progress and we're so focused on the next that we miss what we need to be doing in the now, who we need to be becoming in the now. Ooh, I just dropped some gold. I hope you didn't miss that. It is the now. So I don't get hung up on necessarily all the things about pay and all the things about title and all the things about a sexy company I'm working for. All those things are material. What I'm focusing on, am I doing what I need to do in the now? Am I becoming who I need to become in the now so that I can get to the next? Young people need to know that. Less hype, more action. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.